You're listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. Wrapping up a set of classic blues there with something from Bessie Smith, Careless Love Blues. Before that, my cat's namesake, Memphis Minnie. We heard Conjure Man. And yes, I did name my cat Memphis Minnie. Before that, Odetta, a song I heard on the radio and I had never heard it before. I was blown away. Bourgeois Blues. That is from her 2001 album, Looking for a Home. And we started the set with Big Mama Thornton and the Muddy Waters Blues Band with Black Rat, going back to 1966. All right, it is about 5 minutes past noontime. Time to talk with Lucy Kaplansky about her new album. And here she is. I want to welcome to the show, Lucy Kaplansky. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Sue.
Oh, it's great to see you. So I don't know if you remember, I have sort of a vague memory, but you were on our show in 1994.
Whoa.
In person in Medford at Tufts University. And the reason I know this is that I have this autographed CD that you gave me.
Oh my God.
I'll read you what you wrote. Dear Sue, thanks so much for a great interview and especially for calling me fabulous. Love, Lucy Kaplansky.
Oh my God. That sounds like me. Sounds like me. No, so, I don't remember that, but I believe you.
This is the only proof I have. I have a vague memory of it, but I've been a big fan since at least then. So I'm sure it's true. I'm sure it's true. So welcome back, regardless of memories and lack thereof. So, so it's been a while. What is that? 26 years, right? Since I'm not very good at math in my head. 28 years. So clearly I've been doing this for too long. I wanted to talk to you about your new album, Last Days of Summer, which I love. And, so why don't you talk a little bit about how you came to make this record and where you were at when you made it?
Right. So this album really happened, after being, for lack of a better word, in lockdown.
Yeah.
Pandemic lockdown for a while. So, you know, March 2020, my family escaped New York City, where we live, in an elevator building.
Oh, boy.
We left March 13th and we had just bought a second home on Cape Cod, like a few months before. It was just unbelievably lucky. And we went there and we thought we'd be there for maybe a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, who knew? And we didn't go back at all for 6 months. So
wow.
The whole beginning of the pandemic for someone like me was, who knew if there were ever going to be shows again?
Right, right.
Certainly not indoors. I mean, ever. So I didn't know what was ever going to happen to my career. And it was a very strange time. Obviously, we were so lucky to be out of New York, where a catastrophe was unfolding. So who knew if there were going to ever be indoor shows or any kind of shows again? So I didn't know if I would have a career. And the one thing I did know was that I could still keep on writing,
mm-hmm.
you know, even if I never had a career again. So I didn't have a lot to do because I wasn't traveling and working, which I had been for years and years. So I decided to have a routine where every single morning I would sit down and write. Anyway, the bottom line is I wrote some stuff. I wrote some songs, and a couple of them were kind of very much about the pandemic, among other things. And lo and behold, I had a year later, I had a few songs. And then at some point I thought, my God, I could actually make another album. So last summer, I started thinking about making another album, and that's how the album happened. It wasn't like this planned thing, but I wrote songs because I was, you know, had this routine and I was really sticking to it, which I'd never had because I was always too busy traveling and stuff, and it worked. So, so that's sort of how the album happened.
Right. So you turned a difficult situation into something really actually nice, which I think is great. Because what else was there to do during that time? Right.
Not much. There was not much to do.
Right.
Not for me. You know, I mean, I was a mom. My daughter was home with us. She was a junior and then a senior in high school. So I was a mom. I learned to cook some. I volunteered for the 2020 election, you know, virtually. But other than that, there was not a lot to do.
Right. Wow. Well, so, and you made it out of New York City, which is a blessing in itself. So that brings me, I think, sort of naturally to the song Elmhurst Queen's Mother's Day.
Right.
Which is the last song on the album. Let's start at the end, which really, I think, you know, is sort of an outpouring of what you were feeling at that time, both for people in the city where you weren't and also just yourself. Why don't we take a listen to that? And then we'll come back and we'll talk some more.
Sun is coming up over the bay. Everywhere, everything has changed. The only sound is wind in the trees. New York City's far from me. The sun is coming up over the bay. Friends back home tell me nothing is the same. That city symphony just stopped that day. crowds, the life, the energy, you're just sirens now through empty streets. My silence turning city far away. These days there is no work for me. And I don't know if there will ever be. As remote lives keep moving on, I sit down to write this song in this refuge from that storm far away. It's far away, far from me, far away from me. Then I read about a nurse's day in Queens. In cotton scrubs, she is the infantry. Trenches painted in fluorescent light, weaponless soldiers in the fight. Read about a nurse's day in Queens. She's wearing the only mask that she can find. She knows that they will all get sick in time. She's telling the writer all the things they need, with the president lying on TV. Her oath was not for her family to die. Endless lines of those who won't be saved, dying in plastic chairs as they wait. When she gets home, won't hug her kids, writes her will like her friends all did, falls asleep in her living room chair again. It's far away, far from me, far away from me. I'm making dinner, sun is going down. Sun will be setting over New York town. They'll be cheering soon on my empty street, a brief reprise of that symphony. In the city where I became a wife, where my mother was born, where I've made my life. And though I won't be there to cheer along, oh, I can sing this song for that nurse and for my city, my home.
So talk a little bit about how you came to write that song, you know, what you were going through, what part of the pandemic was going on at that time.
So that was the first song. Oh, and I want to just mention that all these songs are co-written with my husband, Rick.
Oh.
So I'm just going to, for shorthand, I'm going to say I, but
okay.
It really was a we.
Okay.
So I started writing that just like maybe in March of 2020, you know, that was around when I thought, well, I can at least write. And I started writing about what I was experiencing, which was hearing about and reading about New York from afar, like from friends, from, you know, Governor Cuomo, from the news, all the frontline workers who were, you know, in hell. And,
right.
So I started trying, I just started to write about it, like how weird it was for me to be so far away. That's been my home for so many years, and to just not be there. That's how it started. And then it kind of became also a tribute to the frontline workers, because I was reading so much about them, and they were so brave, and they were so unprotected in such vital ways. So it's partly a tribute. It's not about a specific person,
mm-hmm.
but it's kind of a composite of the things I was reading about the nurses and the doctors, especially in Elmhurst, Queens, where it was just a complete nightmare.
Yeah. And the healthcare workers really bore the brunt of that. And
they did. They did. Absolutely.
Before vaccines, you know, there was really nothing you could do but bundle up, you know, and
yeah.
And but they were on the front lines every single day. I mean, even still, you can, you know, even with vaccines and boosters, you can still get the virus.
Absolutely.
And those people are still right. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Interestingly, I've noticed throughout the years that New York City is sort of like a character in a lot of your songs. Like it's just,
I guess so. It's
kind of like a Woody Allen movie, although talking about Woody Allen these days isn't exactly the best.
No, but I know what metaphor. You mean.
Yeah,
it's New like York the, is always a character.
It's a character movie. And it's a character in a lot of your songs, as are the people of New York. It's the song of the exiled, right? Mm-hmm. That is sort of little vignettes about different people you've met in New York. And it kind of brought me back to the song going way, way back to My Name Joe, you know, like talking about these characters and painting a picture of characters and New York and life and, you know, all the different types of people that it takes to make up the city. Sounds to me like maybe you haven't really thought about it that way before. It's just where you live. And so that's what you write about.
Yeah, I haven't thought about it. I didn't write My Name Joe. That's by somebody I know.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, David Massengill, who also has lived in New York for, God, he's probably been there longer than me, 45 years, 50 years, about his experience. Yeah, so, but that's an interesting sort of juxtaposition. And it is, you know, I certainly do write about what I know. And
right.
I do know New York, but it's also true that it's an incredibly rich tableau. Like I know Steve Earle says, like, don't put on headphones like when you ride the subway. He lives in New York.
Right.
Because you're going to miss all the stories. Now, I don't know if that's really true, but I get the idea that it's all around you and there's just so much to take in. And so naturally, that's part of what ended up being in the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very rich and it's definitely a thread that weaves through a lot of your music over the years. And speaking of threads, I'm going back to the red thread and thinking, how can your daughter be grown now? It seems like that record, you know, is only a few years old.
Except it's almost 20 years old, but I know.
Right.
It's 18
right.
years old. Yeah. No, she's 19. I know. It's crazy. I don't know how it happened. I really don't.
Well, congratulations. You made it through the tough part, I think.
Thank you. Yes, I think so too.
So this album really sounds to me like you're sort of, you know, it's starting to be the time where your daughter's going to go away to college, the last days of summer, and you're sort of hoping that, you know, like to hold on to that time. Anything more to add about that song before we take a listen to it?
Well, let's put it this way. Maybe I'll talk about it after we listen.
Okay.
So people can hear it.
Let's take a listen to it right now. The Last Days of Summer. It's the title track to Lucy Kaplansky's new album, The Last Days of Summer.
Last days of summer are coming on fast. Was hoping August wouldn't end, but it never lasts. Filling boxes with blankets, books, and clothes. No longer a child, unafraid, ready to go. It's been 18 years since we fixed up that empty room. Pale yellow walls, pretty white crib, she'd be lying there soon. Then a bigger bed, games of pretend and books and friends. Come September, gonna be empty again. After 18 years, how can it be just 1 week more till we carry those boxes to our new room on the seventh floor, across from the park where she played pretend and climbed and dreamed, where she flew high on the swings. Now she's gonna fly on her own wings, no longer pretending brand new dreams. I remember the day I told my mom fool for a little girl dream. So I packed my things, looked back once, never did again. Afraid and defiant, was just 18 then. And I know she'll come back, but never always again. It's just as it should be and how it's ever been. But I'll miss that girl in her room, safe and mine. Life is a circle strewn with goodbyes. After 18 years, how can it be just 1 week more till we carry those boxes to her new room on the 7th floor, across from the park where she played pretend and climbed and dreamed, where she flew high on the swings. Now she's gonna fly on her own wings, no longer pretending with her very own dreams. Down the street and a million miles away. Hope her bed is soft enough. Hope at night she's not afraid. And I hope her friends will be caring and kind. She's gonna make her choices just as I made mine. Last days of summer are coming on fast. Was hoping August wouldn't end, but it never lasts. Come September, we'll be two, no longer three. Back where we started, back around that circle, darling, you and me.
So The Last Days of Summer, it's a great song. Very Thank evocative. You. And I can tell your, you know, angst as a mother, you're sort of treasuring these last moments before everything changes forever, right?
Exactly. And, you know, I think in retrospect, I knew this, but I had been dreading, she's an only child. I'd been dreading her leaving for years. And there it was, like a couple of weeks away. I mean, I started writing that song probably about a month before she left. Mm-hmm. And I was grieving. Not so much at her actually sort of being gone, although that was definitely part of it. It was more like the end of something, like the mm-hmm. end of a whole part of our lives. And I can also tell you that the day she left, and I should also mention that she was literally only four blocks away from us, but it didn't feel like it mattered at that point because I figured I wasn't going to see her. Mm-hmm. She was going to be gone. But that day I watched her walk away back to her dorm and I lost it in a way that I haven't for decades. I mean, I cried and cried and cried on and off for 36 hours, maybe a little bit more. And then I woke up that next day. So this is now 2 days later and I felt okay. And it was like, oh, it's not so bad. And there's a couple other things to say about that. One is that I thought I was never going to see her. And of course we see her all the time. Uh-huh. In fact, she's living with us this summer. And she's four blocks away, you know, during the year. And this year she's going to be three blocks away. So it's not what I thought it was going to be, what I imagined it was going to be. And then I think the other thing was that I had been dreading it for so long that it was
built up,
kind of a huge relief to have it just, okay, it's over. Looming anymore. Mm-hmm. And that was a huge relief. So all of a sudden something lifted off of me and I felt actually better than I'd felt in a long time. So that's the happy ending.
Very therapeutic.
But this song is very, I was in the grip of feeling incredibly sort of mournful about losing her and losing this part of our lives.
How did she react when she heard the song for the first time?
That's a good question. I'm not even sure she has heard the whole thing. Not much of a reaction. I think she said, oh, it's good. You know, I don't, she wasn't, she was sort of nonplussed. Like, okay, mom wrote a song.
Wow. Well, I guess that's better than freaking out and being like, you can't release that. It's about
me. No, and- she's never done that. And no, she's never done that. And she wouldn't do that. But no, yeah. She didn't feel that way.
Well, that's
I'm
good.
Happy to say.
I mean, when you're the offspring of a, you know, of a performer, you know, sometimes there's a spotlight on you that you don't necessarily want.
That's true. That's very true. I don't think she minds, though. I don't think she minds.
Do you think that your songwriting changed after you became a parent?
I don't know if the writing changed. Certainly the topics changed.
Yeah.
I changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Priorities completely changed.
Did it get in the way of being a musician?
My priorities?
No, did having a child
get in the way? I mean, I guess in the sense that, you know, I had less time and energy, but but who cares? I mean, right. My life is infinitely richer, and some of the things I thought really mattered before I was a mom, just it seemed like just not that important to me now. And that's kind of a relief. So it's all fine. It's like, it is what it is. And I now have a different life, but I don't know. I don't think the writing has changed. I'd like to think that over the years, gradually I sort of keep getting better. And my husband is a really gifted writer and I know he gets better. So between the two of us, I'd like to think that we've just kind of gotten better at it. So that's maybe one way.
Great, great. And the other thing that I've always appreciated is your willingness and your ability to do cover songs. I mean, I'm the queen of the cover songs. I often will do a show that's all cover songs, just all over the place, partially because we only play songs by women artists. And I like to be able to play some songs that are perhaps better known by male artists, and women have done these great covers of them. But I'm curious to know how you pick your cover songs, both for when you perform, but also when you record.
It's a whole mix. I mean, sometimes I hear a song and I just have to sing it. Like, that's what happened to me with like Julie Miller's Broken Things or Eliza Gilkison's The Beauty Way. Like just, oh my God, that's so great. I have to sing that. Mm-hmm. And then it worked for my voice and it just kind of worked and it stuck. You know, these songs, well, like on this particular album, Gold Watch and Chain, I've been singing for 40 years. And I sang it at my own wedding. By contrast, these days I had never sung. And then I was at a, very friendly with Congressman Jamie Raskin and his family. And we were at a bonfire last summer and he asked me if I could play that song. Why, there was a guitar.
Uh-huh.
He asked me if I could play it. And I'd never played it. I'd never sung it. But I figured I knew at least I'd loved it. And I knew at least maybe 2/3 of it. And I got through it and my husband said, wow, that gave me chills. I think you should record that. That's how that one happened. And then Jordy Connolline had never sung. And I just thought, I'd worked with Nancy Griffith many times over the years. And I thought it'd be nice to do a Nancy song. And I always liked that one. And then I just tried it with the band in the recording studio and it just clicked. I think it was one or two takes. It was like, okay, that worked.
That's great.
And then what's the other one? I don't even remember what the other one.
Oh, and then these boots
are made for walking. I started doing that in my live shows just because it was just on a lark. So sometimes they're just on a lark, like, oh, I kind of feel like doing that song. And then they stick.
That's great.
And then other times, it's all mixed. But it has to work for my voice. It has to feel good. I have to love the song. Audiences have to, you know, if I do them live, they have to like it. So it's a whole mix of things.
So let's give you the choice. Which one should we play? Which of the cover songs from this new album?
Oh, well, I kind of like Forty Connolline.
Okay, great. Really, let's take a listen. Forty Connolline from Lucy Kaplansky's latest album, Last Days of Summer, here on Something About the Women.
She drove west from Salt Lake City to the California coastline. She hit the San Diego freeway doing 60 miles an hour. She had a husband on her bumper. She had five restless children. She was singing sweet as a mockingbird in that Ford Econoline line. She's salt of the earth, straight from the bosom of the Mormon church, with a voice like wine, cruising along that Ford Econoline line. Well, her husband was a gambler. He was Salt Lake City rambler. And he built a golden cage around his silver-throated wife. So many nights he left her crying with his cheating and his lying. But his big mistake wasn't buying her that Ford Econoline. She's salt of the earth, straight from the bosom of the Mormon church, with a voice like wine, cruising along that Ford Econoline. Church with a voice like wine, cruising along that Ford Econoline. Now she sings her songs around this country, from Seattle to Montgomery. Those kids are grown that round her nose. You cannot cage your wife along the back roads of our nation. She's become a living legend. She drives a coupe de ville, but her heart rides still in that Ford Econoline. She drives coupe de ville, but her heart rides still in that Ford Econoline.
So that's a great song. It's a song that's been a favorite of mine for many, many years. Huge Nancy Griffith fan. And we lost her not that long ago, within the last year or so. And you said have you like performed with her before or been on the same stage? And
yeah, I sang harmony with her on stage. I sang harmony with her on her records.
Great.
Yeah. She had a nickname for me over the years. It was sort of my country and Western nickname.
Okay.
It's Lucy Bell. And that stuck. And my husband to this day calls me Lucy Bell.
That's awesome. So you have like a little piece of Nancy that you can take with you in your name. That's fantastic. So are you're touring around this album?
Well, not so much this summer. I mean, summer is always kind of light for people like me. Most sort of these kinds of gigs tend to happen during the regular year. But I have a ton of gigs booked in the fall. I have a few gigs booked this summer. And yeah, so I'm going to just keep promoting this album.
Great. So I know that locally you'll be at Club Passim on Friday, October 14th.
Yes.
I encourage everyone to go. It's a great venue.
It is
very,
a great venue.
Very intimate. And hopefully by then there will be no more COVID. It'll magically disappear. I know that's
your
a pipe dream.
Ears.
Exactly.
I know. That, but
in October, the window's open.
Yeah, right.
And, having taken a break from touring because of COVID, how has it been going back out and playing live shows?
Well, the first show I did felt very strange. Like, how do I do this? What do I talk about? It felt odd. And then by like the second or third show, it was like, oh, I kind of feel like I never stopped. It was really, it's kind of weird that it just picked up where it left off and it didn't feel like I kind of forget that I didn't do it for 2 years. And I will say that audiences are so appreciative.
Yeah.
See music again. I mean, the people are just ecstatic to be out seeing live music. So that's really nice.
Yeah. I mean, I know that the few shows that I've been to has just felt so great and like, oh my God, I missed live music.
Yeah.
And I don't even do my radio show live anymore. I record it right here in my house, pre-record it. And it's a little strange to think about going back to doing it live. I'm sure I could do that if I really, really tried, but, you never know.
Right.
So the album is only available through you on lucykaplansky.com and at your shows?
That's right. Yeah. That's a decision I made with this album and my last album, Everyday Street, to try to actually CDs. I mean, I don't know how much you want me to say about this, but CD sales have just been completely wiped out by streaming services. And, yeah, you know, that was a huge part.
But you get paid like a 100th of a penny for every time someone listens.
There's really no money in streaming for the artists. And so I had this sort of revelation one day, like 4 years ago, when I was walking the dog, like, well, what if it wasn't available on streaming services? Well, people would have to buy it.
Right. And you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Well, I don't know anyone else who's doing that, but I thought, well, what have I got to lose? And I did it. And because I have an audience and I can market it to them.
Right.
And they still buy CDs because they're of a certain age like me.
And me.
And lo and behold, I have sold a lot of them.
That's
and
fantastic.
That has replaced, you know, it's like I got back some of that income that, you know, that's just otherwise is gone.
Right. Evaporated.
So, and people are happy to support an artist, I think.
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And I'm glad that you did. I'm glad I bought it.
Oh, and thank you.
We've been playing it on the show for a couple weeks now. So, it's a great addition to the songs that we will be playing. And, you know, I get it. It's really, it's tough out there for artists. I mean, between COVID and just nobody buying anything, it's really, really challenging. So I'm glad that you did it that way.
Thank you.
Anything. And it's also interesting to me, like, it seems like you do have a great, at least on Facebook, a great presence. Do you do all that Facebook posting yourself?
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, people ask me that, like, that's so funny. Yeah. I do it myself. I mean, it feels very, doesn't feel like I'm doing anything special or fancy, but people like it.
It's great. I especially appreciate the pictures of your beagle. As my beagle just ran by.
You have a beagle.
I sure do.
Oh.
Now, of course, she won't come over, but
yeah, mine's sleeping. She's over there sleeping, not barking.
Mine's completely deaf. So she, I can't call her to come over and say hi, but, she's 14 and she's very sweet. And we've had a series of beagles over the years, and beagles are the best. So I want to encourage everyone to go to your website, lucykaplansky.com, to order Last Days of Summer. And I'm sure they can also order other CDs there.
And actually you can get a download or an autograph CD, and the autograph CD comes with a download.
Oh, that's fantastic. Beautiful. And come out to shows again. You'll be at Club Passim Friday, October 14th, 2022. And I'm sure if people go to your website, again, lucykaplansky.com, they can see your touring schedule and see if you're going to be nearby. And I encourage everyone to go out and see live music, because there is no substitute for live music.
That's very true.
Great. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I know we had to reschedule a couple times, and I'm glad we finally got to do this.
Me too.
Really appreciate it. And we'll have you on another 26 years from now, probably.
Wonderful.
Hopefully sooner.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, very welcome. Good luck out there. Stay safe. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
New York, 1995, by the High Line way downtown. Trains up there made the city run. Julian's gonna tear it all down. It was cold, so I grabbed a yellow cab. Driver was a tiny old man. Leather jacket, newsboy cap, pall mall smoking on the dash. Motorcycle went flying by. He said, "He's crazy, it's too cold to ride." I used to be crazy, I raced bikes in Hungary in '35. I must have broken every bone, even broke some twice. We shared a smile and I said, "You're lucky you're alive, lucky you're alive." Then his smile disappeared like the fading of a light. I was in the camps, you know, just a few of us survived. lucky to be alive. I've seen New York's treasure celebrated and numb, and also those not made of stone or steel, stories of my town, like the song of the exile, the men who drive the cabs, as they live the story of our city and the promise of our flag. Grabbed a taxi the other day, said Newark Terminal C. Driver had a Chinese name and broken English, said to me. Musician, I said, yes I am. He said, my son plays violin. I said, where in China are you from? Said, I come from Chongqing, I've been here 15 years. I was a miner there and very poor, I'm lucky to be here. My son, he studies hard in school, get a PhD. Maybe be a doctor, he won't drive a cab like me. He won't drive a cab. New York's treasure celebrated and renowned, and also those not made of stone or steel, the stories of my town, like the song of the exile, the men who drive the cabs, as they live the story of our city and the promise of our flag. Passing by the High Line, you know it never was torn down. Now there's acres of shimmering glass and steel, another jewel in the city's crown. I think about my forebears, my Chinese daughter too. Amazed that I'm so lucky, get to live the life I do. Get to live the life I do. Cannot share my luck with him, so I smile and thank him again. He drives off to the taxi line with the other exiled men to make this city run again.
It was so great to talk to Lucy Kaplansky, so big shout out and thanks to her for hopping on a Zoom call and having that conversation with me earlier this week. I do encourage you to check out the new album. Go to her website, lucykaplansky.com, to buy it. She is avoiding streaming services, which I think is a bold and really great move. All right, so we have about 16 minutes left in the show. I'm going to pack it full of music. I was enjoying the blues that I was playing for you. I'm going to play some new blues now. Here's a brand new one from Janava Magnus here on Something About the Women.
These are the days that I wonder why I can't seem to say goodbye. I want you to know you're my best friend. We've been together since way back when. Fly free. I'll always love you, baby. I'll always you to know you're my best friend. We've been together since way back when. Don't you forget about.
Buy you a watch and chain. Gonna buy you a
Chevrolet. Gonna buy you a Chevrolet. Gonna buy you a Chevrolet. Just do some for you. Just do some for you. Gonna build you a house and home with my bare hands. Build you a house and home. Gonna build you a house and home. Baby, do some for you. Baby, do some for you. Chevrolet, gonna buy you a Chevrolet. Just do some for you. Just do some for you. Gonna buy you a house and home, baby. Gonna build you a house and home with my bare hands. Build you a house and home. Just do some for you, oh baby. Just do some for you. Buy you a watch and chain, papa, papa. Buy you a watch and chain. And chain. Just do some for you, oh baby. Just do some for you.
Walking into the building for the first time after the shooting, it was crippling, but it had to be preserved.
In response to the Pulse nightclub shooting that affected the LGBTQ community, Barbara Poma, owner of Pulse, founded the One Pulse Foundation to honor Pulse victims and survivors.
If you're an ally of this community, speak out. There are more of us together than apart. It is the power of love in its rawest form.
Join the fight for LGBTQ acceptance. Learn how. At lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Believe it or not, another episode of Something About the Women is coming to a close. It went so quickly. All right, we started the set with Janava Magnus doing Don't You Forget About Me from her brand new album, Hard to Kill. After that, new music from Shamika Copeland called Too Far to Be Gone. That is a single from her upcoming album. And we finished up with Sass Jordan doing Chevrolet from her new album, Bitches Blues. Great name for an album. All right. Well, it has been fantastic spending this time with you. I'll be back again in a few weeks. Thank you, as always, for listening to 91.5 WMFO in Medford. This has been Something About the Women. We are here every week from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Saturdays. That would be Jane, Kirsten, and myself. I am going to leave you now with an oldie, but a song that is getting a newfound popularity due to the show Stranger Things. I am, of course, talking about this fantastic song from Kate Bush. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.